Hello and welcome to Sprovcast, the English language Sprovcast no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm Brian Thompson.
Who's Brian Thompson, apart from you?
The new Sprovcast co-host. Brian Thompson. I'm Brian
Thompson.
So Sam is no longer at all involved in Sprovcast.
Right.
He has been replaced as a new co-presenter, Brian Thompson.
He sounds remarkably like him.
Sam has got nothing to do at all with this new setup at all. It's, okay. it's a new clean break.
He's gone to rival podcast Lee Shen Up.
Very good. No, so this is a meet Brian Thompson.
Hello.
No connection at all with Sam. There was no backroom dealings to make sure that Sam could still have any influence on the podcast.
Right. Okay. That's well, Brian, it's nice to meet you, and it's remarkable.
For Mr. Thompson. If that's okay.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
He's talking to you.
Well, it's convenient you've brought that up. This remarkable and sudden change in both management and personality, because it mirrors beautifully. It's almost as if you did it on purpose, Mr. Thompson. The situation that happened this very day. Should we talk about that?
I feel people will be tuning into this podcast for us to talk specifically about that. So, so my debut on this podcast, Brian Thompson, going to show you why, you know, what's happened is obviously a very positive thing for the club and for the city.
Now remember, your name is Brian Thompson. What have you got to say on this most irritating and bizarre of days?
I will maybe break character for a moment.
Okay,
and I think
fair enough.
That this can just be summed up in three words, David.
Yep.
Jesus fucking Christ.
a good summary. Succinct.
So, actually, things have been very busy at Sprovcast Towers. I've had a lot of work to do. You've had a lot of crying to do over other things that I'm sure we'll get onto later
program. Yeah, we should also say this is why we haven't been with you for 3 weeks now, because life has happened. So
And without fail, David, I find that when we actually are able to put in the time and the energy to write, sort of a podcast or whatever, then it just goes completely out the fucking window by stuff that happens. Like, I mean, 5 hours before, when we're all stuck in work. And Jesus fucking Christ.
Do you want to sum it up or shall I?
Let me just say a few words then. Just because I'll be honest, unless you are one of our many listeners from outside the Czech Republic, and we thank you for your patronage, you probably are aware of the stuff that's been happening with Zbrojovka Brno. The owner, Vasilav Bartoniek, and the proposed sale of club shares to a preferred bidder for the long time, which was, of course, the irrepressible pan_Skippy, Pavel Svoreň. And there was a timeline for this takeover, and we were all leading up to that date for this sort of peaceful, transition of new leadership.
Peaceful transition of power.
Yeah. and today was basically the day that this was going to happen. In the lead up to today, there have been a lot of rumours flying around that Bartoniek was not willing to sell because he still has, he still wants to maintain a grip on the club, despite the fact that there is overwhelming pressure from the fan base for Bartoniek to sell up and go.
Mm-hmm.
By the by, we would have had this deal done a lot sooner had he not had these feelings, because there were several dates where it was supposed to be done by and included.
It was supposed
to
be mid-March, was supposed to be the original,
where he stopped answering his phone for some time.
Exactly, yeah.
So what happened was then, today, that there has been no sale to Pavel Svoreň. What has happened instead is there has been a sale, as was rumoured, to Libor Zabranski, who is the current owner of Kometa Brno, the ice hockey team here. And a lot of this was based on the fact that he and Bartoniek are friends.
Yes.
and they've known each other for a while, and they've done deals together in the past. Now, even some of the more cynical people were like, Bartonia is going to try and get him to sell, but he is, you know, he's not stupid. He knows exactly what's happening here. Turns out he is stupid. So Libor Zabranski now owns 80% or 81%, I can't remember, of Zbrojovka Brno. 80%, mm-hmm. He's telling me here. And obviously the reaction to this has been overwhelmingly negative, not necessarily because of Libor Zabranski himself, though I am told that there are issues there, but really the fact of the matter being that this is a puppet, this is a shell, and this is to allow Bartoniec to still act behind the scenes and have control over everything.
Basically, yes. There were two, three sort of tweets that summed it up. There was Svorin's.
Yeah, I've got it here.
For now, I will limit myself to stating that the biggest losers will be both sports clubs. A comedy has become a tragedy.
Yeah.
Andre Kania, interestingly, who now owns Slovan Liberec, who came in just over a year ago to have initial meetings about taking over Zbrojovka, tweeted, "This is why, after just one meeting, I knew there was absolutely no point continuing, because he just couldn't deal with Bartoniec. He couldn't deal with the fact that, basically, like, he's a, you know, he's not going to let his plaything go."
Yeah.
And the other one was the fact that there was a short thread where they were looking into the kind of wider implications of this, in that there were kind of goodwill agreements in place that were Svorin and his Portiva investment company to take over, them being the preferred buyers, that there would be investment from the city and the local government to kind of match, in a way, whatever Svorin put into the stadium, the infrastructure.
Yeah.
So either resiting or rebuilding the ground, you know, doing all the maintenance works that have needed to be done for years because the stadium is falling into disrepair. Absolutely. And Bartoniec's doing nothing about it. So not only is it, well, maybe continuing to be a kind of Bartoniec puppet state, but all of the kind of goodwill of city and county fundraisers, money people, has gone out the window because this is not their preferred buyer. Yep. This is some guy, some Cometa guy.
Yeah. And some Cometa guy who has, I'm told, really no vast resources in, you know, to plow into the club. I believe most of the fundraising and money making at Cometa Brno has been because of sponsorships and things like that. I think that it's a pretty hard sell to get vast amounts of advertising revenue from a team that's currently mid table in the second tier, looking like it's, you know, floundering in a stadium which, you know, like you say, is in disrepair. If I know it's like pie in the sky stuff right now, but if Zbrojovka was ever to get back into Europe, for example, in the current state, we cannot host games there because it doesn't it doesn't match the sort of the standard that is expected. Yeah. And perhaps more importantly, you know, you consider the relationship between Brno and the city, like you say, particularly when it comes to the stadium. Because the stadium's not Brno's.
No.
Like, it's the city's. So, you know, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, where if Lishen was to be promoted, then they would, you know, be able to use the stadium. And that could possibly come to a head again if, let's say, a team like Vyshkov get promoted as well. Because I'm not entirely sure if the stadium in Drvenica would be up to first division standards. I don't think it's safe enough. So all this sort of stuff is, and really this is putting Zbrojovka Brno actually into real crisis now. We were talking about this crisis in terms of things like that, you know, being on the field with the team, not being motivated, not turning up, not having good results, heads down, fans walking away. This is potentially more serious than that now.
Yeah, to give a little bit of balance, I mean, not much balance, but, you know, Zabranski, former hockeyist himself, I believe, has brought Cometa success, but as you say, it's all a bit castle built on sand. He hasn't really put anything in himself. It's all sponsorship. But the reason that Cometa could get such sponsorship is we kind of clichéingly say that Zbrojovka is kind of a sleeping giant in Czech football. Cometa was the giantest of sleeping giants in Czech hockey. Like, in the past, up until the kind of 80s, 90s, the most successful hockey club in the country by a king country mile.
Yeah.
So people were willing to invest in this massive, by Czech hockey standards, franchise and get it back up there. And, you know, they have won titles in the last few years. Yes. They've been, you know, decently successful. But, yeah, that has come because they are, they were the giantest of sleeping giants when he took them over.
Yeah. And there is no will, at least on the ground. I mean, I could be wrong here. I maybe don't have access to the discourse as much as some other people. But is there the will for people external to Zbrojovka to get the club up off its feet this time? I don't really think there is.
Probably not. This is the difference between... I mean, it's just Bartoniek Mark II. It is local man buys club. Whereas with Svaren and Portiva, it would be, you know, investment group buys club to expand and make money and, you know, improve their portfolio, which is a kind of a two-way, you know, business street. This is just, again, this is just more small-time local dick swinging. That's all this is.
Absolutely. And I think that one thing that does maybe sort of sum this up in some ways as well, well, not summing it up, but the thing that is also just really damaging about it is that trust has now just completely gone between club and supporter base. I'm sort of scrambling around my phone to find it right now. I'm not going to do that. But there was, I think, one of the sports sites published the updates, you know, that the club was issuing regarding the sort of the takeover, you know, in stages. And this has been, you know, ongoing for over a year. And how everything has suddenly changed. We're going to do this. Oh, we're looking forward to this. We can't wait to have this in. And then suddenly someone else has now bought the club, by the way. And there's going to be big repercussions for this as well. I'm sure. We're still waiting to hear if there is any, I believe, any sort of press release from things like the Ultras groups, any of the other fan groups involved in Zbrojovka Brno. I can see things going down on Saturday.
Yeah.
At our home game against Opava, which will be an interesting return for the likes of Kuba Przystal, that's for sure.
Against, of course, as we have previously mentioned, one of the more unique ownership models in Czech football, owned by the city.
Yes, that is true. And there was a you had a very good overview of that. Yes, some previews in the past, bracket link in description, maybe.
No.
But really, it is a mess. And I think that, and I've been thinking about this quite a lot recently, especially because, obviously life has got in the way, but we've talked already about enthusiasm for the team actually being really at a record low. And it's been, you know, myself thinking on like a Saturday or whatever, it's like, can I be bothered to go and see Zbrojovka? Because I've seen this play out before. And I think that it's now going to be all on this new ownership to see what happens with the club and if we can turn some stuff around. Because, and I'm going to put myself on record here, there's still something to think about with this, obviously, and I will await and prove them to be wrong and make the actual decision at a later time. But if this clown shoes, you know, running of the club is to continue past the summer, and especially if yet again, let's keep in mind, we have the most expensive season tickets in the league. Certainly in the second division, and actually most of the top division as well. I don't think I can morally buy a season ticket if that's the case.
Yeah.
You know, and I will have to find a way to support the club without financially contributing to that side of things.
Yeah.
And I would actually be interested to hear what a lot of our, you know, listeners think about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been, you know, on social media today, and it's just overwhelmingly angry. It's not disbelief. It's not like that. This is not surprising to Zbrojovka fans, but it is one of these ones where we, see a lot of people now having to actually consider their position.
Yeah.
And when you think of like supporters, like, you know, the veteran fans who are not turning up to games at the moment, there's a boycott from that fan group. This is going to get worse before it gets better, unfortunately.
Certainly is. Right, shall we see if we can talk about slightly more jolly things?
Do you want to try? And I'll sort of nod and go, hmm.
Well, we can't. We're going to talk about Prostioff and Varnsdorf.
Oh, great.
Right, we have played four games since we last spoke to you. We have played Prostioff at home, Varnsdorf away, Jihlava at home, and Vyshkov away. We're going to deal with the first two first. Yes, we do have to, I'm afraid.
I'll be honest, David, I thought we'd maybe covered this before, and I realised that, you know, we haven't done a podcast since, we'd already covered the Prostioff game.
No, this was a low point. No ultras due to protests against ownership.
Yep.
Finagling. Jaroň scoring just before half-time. We make it 1-1 10 minutes into the second half thanks to Ali Agic from a Jamfi assist.
After missing a penalty.
Yes, after the Little Butcher misses. It's a bad penalty as well.
Really bad, yeah.
And in on the 93rd minute, Prostioff get their own penalty and that hands them all the points. Hooray. It was bad.
Jesus fucking Christ. Now, this game...
You know what the title of this episode is going to be as well, by the way.
Let's welcome Brian Thompson, co-presenter. Yeah. Great, okay, good. You know, the only thing I want to say of note to this is that both of us were, at the end of the match, possessed. Because we are used to just
putting I'd forgotten about this.
We're used to just, you know, sort of like heads down, you know, go on, let's get the tram sort of thing. But both of us, seemingly independently of each of us, decided that the best thing to do would be to walk down to the steps to the players and just start shouting abuse at them.
Us and quite a few other people, to be fair. But yeah, it was cathartic.
I just like the idea that they're all, you know, having to, you know, like listen to all this and, you know, the faces or whatever. And then suddenly just amongst the sea of Czech, you just have someone just going, what the fuck are you doing?
Fucking useless. Yeah. It very much reminds me of Mike shouting at Gary O'Connor for Locomotive Moscow when it was when Scotland's Gary O'Connor was playing for Loco when I lived in Russia like 20 years ago, and we went there and we had seats about two rows from the front, and from kickoff there was a second half kickoff there was a long ball and O'Connor kind of lumbers towards it, doesn't get it, it rolls out for a goal kick, and Mike, my then flatmate, who's like 6'4", you know, built like a rugby player, stands up and just goes, Gary, will you fucking run, you fat bastard? And O'Connor just turns around in utter shock that he's getting absolute pelters in perfect English in the middle of Moscow. It was very much, gave me those kind of vibes. Anyway, so yeah, that happened. And that was poor. The ultras were like just outside the ground having a pint, weren't they?
Yeah,
just,
I went out to have a shot with them. I was just
hanging out. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what also made it worse for me, actually, as well, because I went outside to get a klobasa, and then they didn't have any klobasas, and I just sort of shrugged and went, two shots of Jaeger, please. I ended up falling asleep in front of WrestleMania later on that day.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Then, after losing 2-1 to Prostioff, we went to Varnsdorf. That was a low point. That might be the episode title, actually. I can't spell it, but...
Like, thank you know what they always say is like thank heavens for small mercies, right? I had a wonderful weekend with the woman that I love in Budapest, and in you know wonderful food, you know lovely walk on Margit Island. Went out for sort of drinks. I found a record shop that had two Ian Dury records in it for about 150 crowns each. They came home with me.
He was that commentator, isn't he, Ben?
Good. And and then I had sort of sat on the train going home,
saw some cats.
I went to the cat museum. That was very good indeed. I got acknowledged as a cat expert by the Cat Museum for getting 10 out of 10 on their quiz. Good. I got a key ring. And then every so often, I just kept checking my phone on the 4-hour journey back to Burnaby going, oh, look, it's 4, and now we're down to 10 men. Unbelievable.
Weirdly, it was also easier to get to Budapest than Varnsdorf.
Yeah.
One train and quicker. Yeah, lovely. Yeah, shambolic from front to back, our only goal coming from a Roman Potocny penalty.
That is
all you're getting on that game.
Our only goal coming from a Roman Potocny. It seems to be the theme of the last few matches or whatever. And at this point, I was, you know, got back home, got a cup of tea, you know, unpacked stuff, looked at, you know, the aftermath of it, and then seriously questioned if I was ever going to watch Borovka Brno ever again.
Wow. I mean, we're going to have a break in a little bit, and it will pick up. A couple of players are coming back slowly from injury. So the midfield is strengthening itself slightly. I mean, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. Mm. But because of midfield strengthening, would you like to play a quiz that I've written?
Yes. What's the name of the quiz?
It's called Dobile Karl with Tomáš Smejkal.
Mysterio Smith. Or legendary legend.
I mean, technically, it should be called Tobil Heikal Stomashem Smekalem.
But yeah, but
it doesn't rhyme.
An artistic license.
Exactly, artistic license.
Yeah. It's just not in the same way as, like, you know, what's it? Barton Kova Vize Spatki Do Devize, which yes, should be Devize.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same as when Vanjek signed.
And you made
Ufa, Czech, not that good for grammatical rhyming. Tricky.
Yes.
Causally tricky, I would say.
And yet the least of our worries on this podcast.
Yes,
as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Anyway, Tobil Heikal with Tomáš Smejkal. As we know, our inconsistent midfielder, that could be any of them, yeah, is a great student of myths and legends from around the world. So he wants to know more about some he may have missed.
Great.
Question one.
The Greeks.
Question one. A Heikal,
hence
the name of the round, is a mythical being from Czech culture.
Yeah.
Does a Heikal reside in the forest, in the mountains, or in lakes?
Okay, right. I'm gonna discount that it's in the lakes because I think that would be more like a vodnik. This is gonna bite me
good.
In the arse as well.
Well, no, fair, so, fair enough. Good logic.
Forests or the mountains, right? So has this got anything to do with the god Radagast? Is the thing that's going through my head? Okay, so that was my because I was leaning towards mountains. I'm gonna say the forest, David.
And you're correct.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he's a kind of. Not kind of green man exactly, but
that's
like,
what that sells you sweet corn. Like, what?
No, he's a kind of evil forest spirit that kidnaps women.
And if
a woman he's kidnapped escapes, he murders any children they've had.
Right.
So he's a nice chap, the old Heikal.
Deary me.
Right, question two.
When is he going to be the new manager? Like, after we lose 3 on the bounce.
Yeah, yeah. Petr Heikal gets the nod.
Zbrovka Brno lost 2-0 and 500 women were murdered in the stadium.
Damn me. Question two. The Bigfoot, or Sasquatch, is mainly sighted, inverted commas, and therefore assumed to live, inverted commas, in which region of North America?
Ooh, okay. My immediate thought was the Rockies. But it could be some sort of Appalachia thing. That's not how you pronounce it. I'm going to say the Rocky Mountains, David.
It's the Pacific Northwest. The forests of Oregon and Washington.
Oh, really?
Generally, yes.
Tall lads there, huh?
Yes, and Hodnia trees.
You know what they say about Bigfoot?
Big shoes.
Big socks, yeah. Good.
Question three. Open to the public in April 2014, the Kelpies is a magnificent structure of 2 rearing horse heads from Scottish mythology on the Forth and Clyde Canal.
It is.
Situated between which two towns?
Falkirk.
And?
Mm.
Falkirk is one.
Yes.
Obviously.
Definitely Falkirk,
yes.
Right, yeah. Oh, right. Okay, I've got there's two. I've got two thoughts in my head. One of them's Stirling, one of them's Alloa. Alloa?
No.
Go on.
Grangemouth.
Oh, Grange. Oh, that doesn't count. That's Falkirk. Grangemouth's Falkirk.
Well, they're officially in Grangemouth, yeah. Apparently. So they take apparent pride in, despite it's like by the Falkirk wheel or
the
whatever.
Second most famous thing to come out of Grangemouth, the Kelpies.
Right. What's the first?
Cocteau Twins.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. They should name the big horse heads after the twins.
Yeah. I should have thought about this more. Better, because there's obviously several miles between Falkirk and like Alloa and stuff like that. But it just felt right.
Yeah, well, you didn't. Yeah. Question four: in Irish folklore, the cry of which female spirit is said to herald the death of a family member?
Sinead O'Connor. No, that's terrible. Is it a banshee?
It is a banshee. Very good. And question five. The Wolpertinger, a creature from Germanic folklore depicted as having the head of a rabbit, the body of a squirrel, the antlers of a deer, and the wings and occasionally the legs of a pheasant, was the logo on the bass drum skin of which band on a fairly recent live tour?
Ooh, Germanic.
Yes.
Does this mean a German band?
No, but the reason I put it in is because you have it on a t-shirt.
I have it on a t-shirt.
Yes.
Says they might be giants.
It is, okay, yes. It was their kind of tour logo was the Wolpertinger for reasons. So there you go. That was.
By the way, listener, David is currently wearing a different They Might Be Giants t-shirt.
Yes.
You're a fan or something?
With also a faintly mythical beast, a giant squid and a giant whale attacking the Apollo landing module. So there you go. Anyway, that was Torbjörn Haykal with Tomáš Smekal.
I don't know where you keep getting them from.
Nor do I, frankly. Let's talk very briefly about the two other games and then we can have a beer of the podcast.
Sounds good.
Okay, we've got two more games to discuss. They are slightly happier efforts. We're going to do, first of all, it was the Angliska Tiden we were playing on Wednesday night in the midweek. We were at home to Jihlava, who brought six fans. So good for them. That was nice.
Congratulations.
Yes, I went. It was just me.
I couldn't be bothered.
And it was so cold.
Yeah.
It was, because I left in, let's say it's 6:45 as we're recording now. And I left in, it's a nice evening, but I left in this kind of thing at it was a 6 p.m. kickoff, I think.
It was, yeah.
And I left my house around 5 in this kind of weather thinking, I'll put my coat on, might not need it. Mm-hmm. Good Christ. It was so cold. Anyway, that's by the by. I'm just saying, give me sympathy. We had new coach Lukáš Kříž on the bench from the B team. He had thawed out former fullback Peter Stefanovski, 72, who had been kind of like playing for and kind of coaching the B team. So he was supposed to be his kind of voice on the pitch.
Yes.
And he did that for an hour before being knackered. He's 72, bless him.
You know, so stuff's happening when Peter Stepanovsky comes in, because that was like the time where we had the double header against Opava and half of our team just was sick and we didn't have enough people to almost fulfil the fixture. So we had to just wheel him out for that one as well.
He's still got his daft haircut as well.
He reminds me a little bit of the darts player Peter Wright.
I don't know who that is.
The guy's got a snake on the side of his head and has the daft hairdos.
Again, I don't know who that is, okay, he's got a snake on his head and he's got daft hair.
Yeah, Peter right, Snake Bite Right.
Right.
If this is going to work, David, with me as the new presenter, the co-presenter, you will have to, you'll have to step up, because, I know Sam didn't like darts, but me,
but
Brian
this guy
Thompson,
does, yeah, Brian
dude,
Thompson.
Tell me that doesn't look a bit like Peter Stepanovsky.
It does look a bit like Peter Stepanovsky, like a fat step.
There we go. Well, that will be him shortly.
Right, so, fair enough. Anyway, he lasted an hour, as I said, did his job. We were sort of pretty good, actually. It was an entertaining game. again, not a good game, but an entertaining game.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, which is odd. Special mentions for Snake Owl playing for the first time in a long time was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jamfi, who Pavel said was not very good against Vishkov, was great against Yehaba, and he's allowed to be inconsistent. He's
20, he's, isn't he? Yeah.
19 or 20 or something, yeah.
Well, and, good for Foster the person.
Yes, indeed. I mean, the boy can spot a pass,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there were a couple of moments where there was one moment, second half, we were chasing the game with probably about 20 minutes to go, and he ran the ball into the corner, wins a corner, and he's the only one, like, giving it the arms up to get the crowd going, sort of thing. I like that. That was good.
And I'm told it was needed with the turnout.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was officially 2,200. Bollocks. Absolute bollocks. If there were 1,000 people there, I would eat my hat. Should have taken a hat, to be honest. It was very cold.
Do you still have that big hat that makes you look a bit like a pimp? Or a mushroom hunter.
Big purple felt hat.
Yeah.
My Bonzo Dog Doodah Band hat.
I was going to say, do you know River Cottage with Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall? You know that he used to have his mate, and his mate used to, you know, like, go around picking mushrooms. I think it was called John or something like that. Is there a John in the audience? You know, and brew his own beer out of moss and stuff like that. Like, he had a hat a bit like that.
Well, mine is modelled after Neil Innes, one of my favourite. Uh-huh. Songwriters. He was the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band's kind of pop songwriter thing. He also wrote all of the music for the Ruttles, the fake Beatles thing, which had the blessing of the Beatles themselves, and also wrote the theme tune and narrated Raggy Dolls.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. Anyway, he used to wear a big hat like that.
It's also not too dissimilar from the guy that was on Time Team as well, you know.
What, Phil?
Oh, Tony, it's a Roman coin.
Tony, yeah.
Get a geofist to look at your massive hat. Sorry.
No, I don't think, you know, big hat, knitwear. I'm pleased with it. I like it.
Yeah. This is my contribution to the recapping's Broyov Caburno today.
Anyway, to sum up, we won 1-0. The winner came from Denis Gonechny, cutting in from the left and slotting very neatly home with his wrong foot. It was very, very neat indeed on the 85th minute. So late on. But yeah, I mean, not... you know, exactly what we deserved, I think.
Yeah.
We were okay. Like I said, entertaining, not good, but I'd say we just about edged it.
But you know, okay right now in the context of Borovka Borovka is like Galactico shit, you know, after how things have been.
And then we went to Vishkov, who were sitting second and still are sitting second. And we drew 1-1, and actually 4 points, as Liam put on the chat, 4 points from two games, you'd take it. That's fine.
Yeah. And in such a low-quality league as well right now, like, if you consider that, you know, 24 games played and we have Dukla Praga on 47 points, it's pretty risible, having scored 39 goals.
Mm.
Not great. And we are ninth now on 31, and, you know, if you got 3 points or whatever happened, then we'd actually go into fifth. Possibly,
yeah.
You know, if results went our way. Don't by any means, people, think of this as us somehow mounting a challenge to go back up, because A, we won't, and B, we shouldn't.
Yeah, oh,
just with the, if you could, if you thought things were bad
right
now.
Imagine taking this mob up. Good Lord.
Can you, the crazy gang, can you imagine?
Yeah. Anyway, Vishkov took the lead with 15 to go. Aliagic equalises 5 minutes later, and it's a well earned point.
Yeah,
lots of smoke bomb protests from the travelling fans.
Yeah,
yeah. This is the protest with smoke, but it has too much smoke, so I don't know. You want to wear a hat?
Your massive hat.
Yeah, massive big purple Neil in his hat.
How many days is that hat away from retirement?
1 day from retirement. Anyway, should we have a beer just between you and me? Smashed hat.
I think if a beer was ever needed...
Fair enough.
Now it's the time.
Hold up.
Beer
of the podcast. Harmonious.
Shite.
This is a Beer of the Podcast brought to you and us by a friend of the show and semi-regular Beer of the Podcast contributor, Fraser, who brought it back from Poland on one of his regular beer festival jaunts.
Hello and thank you, Fraser.
Yes, it is an interesting looking thing on the label.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a coin.
It has a sort of...
busted.
Yeah, woman that should be painted on the nose of a bomber in the 1940s. But it claims in Polish, to nie szandy, to nie radler, to nie piwo z limonadio, to prawdziwe piwo.
Okay.
It's a real beer. But the reason it wants to claim it's a real beer is because it is an apple strudel lager.
Oh boy.
From the Staropolskiego, original name, brewery. And from a town I have never heard of, Zduńska Wola.
Okay, cool.
Good for them, I suppose.
So we've got the Strudelbrau then.
Yeah, Strudelbrau.
Right, this is going to be...
It's...
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, if it's tangy and brown, we're in cider town. I mean, we're clearly not. We're in beer town, but let's see what happens here.
My God, that's sweet.
Tastes like strudel.
Oh, it levels out, doesn't it?
It does level out. Yeah, it's a shock at first.
God, doesn't the cinnamon dance on your palate?
It's very cinnamon. I mean, I love cinnamon in anything you can put it in. And, you know, I like it in a beer.
Mm. Cinnamon's...
It does taste like strudel, to be fair. You know, it's done quite well.
Oh, I could just chin that, actually. Yeah, I'm halfway down already. That is as one of the more novelty sort of beers.
Yeah.
It's quite good. What's the percentage
4.7.
on it? Oh, okay, so it is proper lager, lager town.
Yeah, it's just they have put something like malted apple something in it. Yeah. Like strudelness.
Yeah.
In it. And it's well done.
That's a bit bish bash bosh, really. Oh. It's a nice wee drop.
Yeah, interesting. Something we've never come across before. Really think there's a lot more to say on that.
It's nice.
That's very nice. Yeah, well done. Cheers, friends. Have we got our next bit?
Is it hot or not time?
It is hot or not time. Yes, let's do hot or not. Hooray! Hot or not time, it's hot or not o'clock, I've got one each, do you have one each?
I've got, way to try, but yeah, I've got two and one.
Okay, give us one of yours first then.
Shall I just get the one out of the way?
Go on.
Then, that's got nothing to do with football.
All right.
Seagull Boy, have you read about Seagull Boy?
I've seen Seagull Boy, yeah.
Unbelievable scenes.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. So, basically, listener, a nine-year-old from, I believe, near Chesterfield... has won a European championship for sounding the most like a seagull.
Yeah, and he really does.
He sounds unbelievable. I played it in the office 50 times today.
Yeah.
To anyone that came past me.
Right, I am not putting this in, because I can't be bothered, but look it up. It's cracking.
Can I just say, his younger sister is also there, and he's yes. holding a big poke of chips.
Yeah, as part of his act, yeah. He goes for the chips. Yeah,
and could do can do different seagull voices, like when they're hungry and stuff. Just unbelievable scenes, basically. So my first hot.
I've got a not. I wasn't going to talk about the thing that happened on Sunday.
We can combine these.
But my not is Anthony. What a twat!
Yeah.
Did he see the after the penalty shootout scenes? This is. Coventry being absolutely denied by VAR and just other things. He was not fucking offside, by the way.
No.
And also, right, I didn't mean to do this, but I'm going to anyway, right? The point of VAR is A, to correct clear and obvious errors. That was not a clear and obvious error.
Yeah.
He was basically level, apart from he's got bigger feet than Aaron Wan-Bissaka. When the ball is played, even if he is offside, he doesn't gain an advantage because Wan-Bissaka is running faster than Haji Wright. Haji Wright immediately falls behind him and then accelerates.
Yeah.
This is a nonsense, and that's all I'm saying on that. Anyway, Anthony, after being introduced in the 66th minute of the FA Cup semi-finals, Sims scores our first to spark the comeback 4 minutes later. Anthony had the nerve, after contributing less than nothing, in fact adding to Manchester United's collapse, to give it the absolute biggins to Cov players after the penalty shootout. Cupping his ears, running in front of them, giving it all of this. Like, horrible, horrible, pointless man-child.
You are a millionaire footballer playing for one of the biggest teams globally.
In fact, his 88 million is more than our entire squad, what they paid for him.
Chucked a 3-0 lead. I would be relieved and embarrassed.
Yeah.
If that was me.
Yeah. Which is exactly what old slabhead himself, Harry Maguire, looked like, who just immediately shook the hands of all Cov players, looked very sheepish, congratulated them all, and then skulked off to the dressing room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's my knot. And that's all we're saying on that.
Yeah. I'll give you a very, very quick knot then, which is the remarkable symmetry between how both of our teams did in a cup semi-final. Because obviously, if you don't know, it was, you know, it was Coventry City 3, Manchester United 3, Manchester United win on penalties. Whereas up in Scotland, it was Aberdeen 3, Celtic 3, Celtic win on penalties.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
Why do we do this to ourselves,
I don't know.
Mr. Thompson?
But I will save this if I can with my second hot, which is a very quick one, which is Jeff Stelling dressing up as one of the Blues Brothers for the last game of the season at Hartlepool. Did you see this?
I did not. So that's incredible.
So about 400 or 500 Hartlepool fans went to the last game of the season. They're, you know, nowadays in the National League. And there is a tradition that you don't really get actually really in Scotland, but it's one thing in England, especially if you're a lower league team, you dress up.
Final day dressing up, yeah.
Yeah. And so you'll have all these people, like, you know, dressed up as like Banana Man or like some sort of cheerleader or this sort of thing. And actually what the Hartlepool fans decided to do en masse was all dress up as members of the Blues Brothers, and there, I would mean hundreds of them.
You mean the two members of the Blues Brothers?
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, I mean, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it was just very, very funny, the whole thing. And the thing is that he pulls it off remarkably well. Like, look at this.
Looks really good.
Look
actually.
At his sideburns. Yeah,
really good.
So, you know, fair play, because, you know, there is probably no more famous a Hartlepool supporter.
Absolutely
than
not,
Jeff Stelling.
No, yeah.
And, you know, fair play to him. You know, long live Soccer Saturday is what
indeed,
I say.
Yeah. One quick final hot. This is from a couple of weekends ago, actually, but it's Bournemouth-based girls team Queen's Park Ladies Under 12s. Did he read about this?
I did not.
They earned the Invincibles tag after finishing top of their table that they were in, winning 18 games, drawing 4 and losing none. And they did it in a boys' league.
Oh, the boys' league. It's boys' league 1, yes. Okay, yeah.
Because what county is Bournemouth in? Devon? Maybe, why not?
England.
Yeah, who knows? My South Coast geography is poor. Despite initial resistance from insert name of county FA bosses who told them they would have to play in a girls' league, they, you know, protested, fought back, got into this league, battered fucking everyone, and yeah, they're going up to the next league and the next age group next year. So you know, look out.
Good for them.
Yeah, look out for Queen's Park Ladies Under 13s, as they will be next year. So lovely stuff.
And yet there's still a bunch of people crying at home about trans people, you know, winning darts competitions and things like that. Get a grip.
Indeed. Right. We have two kind of briefish, I suppose, previews.
Yes.
Okay, let's do those.
It's the previews. I'm here previewing things. Me, Brian Thompson. Absolutely not Sam from Zbroyovcast. We've got two previews. Mm-hmm. Shall I just combine them for the sake of brevity?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great, because we're going to have a home game and then an away game, as is tradition in football leagues.
as is the style at the time.
Yes, and I think the main thing to think about more than the actual performance on the pitch on Saturday is going to be what on earth actually happened.
The performance off the pitch.
So I'll kind of keep my remarks a little bit briefer. You know, Opava, they've had an interesting season. Started poorly, rallied to go on a really good run, including a Czech Cup semi-final, mm-hmm. I should say. They've now reverted somewhat to earlier form. Good 3-2 win against Sparta B, despite spending half of the match down a man. It's quite impressive. 3-0 loss at Lyshen, another at Sigma B, and dropping points at Kromyazhyz and Zhizhkov, not so much. So 12th, 1 point between our current basket case of a club. They have an interesting squad with a number of well-known players at this level, far more interesting than Przybram, which we'll go on to talk to. The first that jumps out is, who is their top scorer right now, David? Do you know?
No.
It's Philip Blecha.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Former friend of this our squad, Philip Blecha.
Friend of the squad, Philip Blecha, yeah.
Wasn't really a friend of the squad. He was, you know, showed flashes of talent, didn't really fit in.
A tale of two players, yeah. So, like, because he was on loan from Slavia to us for a season and a half, and he started off quite brightly. There's a moth on my laptop screen there.
Moth on your laptop. Carry on.
So, yeah, he started off quite brightly, actually, when he came in. While we were a second-tier team, that is, and then clearly struggled in the top division. So he used to bang them in for Vlashim as well. So now that he's, you know, at Opava on a permanent deal,
his level, isn't it?
It's the peak of his development, right? So he's, I mean, never say never, he's 26, so he's still got a lot, you know, he can, you know, possibly have still 10 years left in the tank, maybe. But there's nothing to suggest that he can cut it a league higher. A player that definitely can, as mentioned earlier, is Jakub Przyhistal. It was a sad day when he left Brojovka.
No Przychy, no party.
Yes. Actually,
a prophecy that has really come true.
Oh, absolutely.
As soon as Przychy left, no party anymore.
So, yeah, he left to Sigma Olomouc in January last year. We seemed to sell most of our players to Sigma. He spent a number of years at our club, obviously, including years when he was a top goal scorer. So he's on a season-long loan with Opava, and I, like Jakub Przyhistal, he's a legend.
Yes. yeah.
David Vanacek is here. You may remember him from a very ill-fated spell at Heart of Midlothian, where some believe that he's the worst signing the club's ever made.
I can't believe he's still around, to be honest.
It's great, isn't it?
Vanacek, man, he must be about 309.
He's not even, he's like 34 or something like that. It's crazy. Yeah. But the thing is, like, you know, as much as I laugh about, you know, David Vanacek and his like six appearances for Hearts or whatever it was, he still has,
Teplitzer,
you know.
Teplitzer legend, David
Well,
Vanacek.
He is a Teplitzer legend. Yeah. He had a good run out in Hradec Králové as well. He has got good experience in Czech football. And, you know, considering that you don't need to even have that much experience to pretty much exploit every weakness in Zbrojovka at the moment, that's going to be an interesting thing. It wouldn't be a preview, however, without a weird one.
Yeah, lovely.
In a free transfer from Slovan Velvari, it's former Pocheon under 18 and Joondong High School midfielder Young Hyun Kim.
Sorry, a transfer from where?
Pocheon under 18s.
Right.
And then before that, he was at Joondong High School.
I'm sure he was.
Yes, he's had three appearances for Opava.
There was a period about 6 or 7 years ago.
Part of bits of.
Maybe 8 or 9 years ago, where the Czech league was like an absolute. We're just importing random South Koreans.
Part of bits 4 or 5 seasons ago, and they had 6 of them on their books or something like that.
That was weird.
It's really interesting because I ended up like going on a mad one on once I found out about Kim. And tracking his journey, and I think that really it plays out in real time as if they've signed someone thinking he's a banger, and then you can just feel the realization. So like he's played 67 minutes. So the first game he played 67 minutes, then 8 minutes, then not in squad, then 13 minutes, then on the bench, then not in squad, not in squad. So I'm hoping that he is in squad. I would like to see him, just, you know, because, you know, as a former alumni of Jungdong High School myself, I would like to see how he gets on.
Alumnus.
Just, you know, sometimes you don't even need to say it. You know what I mean? So, to go actually back to a little bit of tactics here, last time out, they were 4-5-1 up of a, started Mohamed Marzouk Yahya up top, who's 20 years old. 4 goals so far in that role. Got 3 of those goals back in August, and the 4th a couple of weeks ago against Sparta B, so not amazing.
Not as good as Mylon Yahya.
Yes, no, absolutely. Who walked into my office the other day because he's joined my company.
Oh, really?
So congratulations. I hope you have a long career with us, because I won't. So they might play him. They might play someone else. They'll definitely play Blecha because Blecha will score.
Right, yes, obviously.
And now very quickly, I'll just talk about Příbram because none of us want to hear about Příbram. So Friday the 3rd, we got to Central, or cross to Central Bohemia, to play a team that have still blocked us on social media. No, thank you. 7th in the table. One team that's managed to beat Dukla in recent weeks. So, you know, go your side. But on the other hand, they followed that up by losing to Sigma B and then 5-1 to Sparta B. So, Dukla, Marila. Yeah, anyway. So we get to be reunited with more players, of course.
Yeah.
Jakub Nečas. So he
No time to lose.
This is it. He's top scorer for them as well.
Oh, God.
With 5. One of them was against us in October when we lost to them 1-0 in an absolute just awful game, if you remember it. It was really, really crap. Goals are a problem for Příbram. So last season they finished 3rd, scored 48. 6 games to go in this division. 25.
Oh, dear me.
Only Hanatska Slavia have fewer by 1.
Wow.
So, and Hanatska Slavia are, of course, bottom of the league.
Sorry, 25 in, what are we, 24 games now?
Yeah.
I mean, that is... Wow.
Yeah. So they are... They are bad.
No time for goals.
But, you know, the problem with Příbram is that their very resolute and games are very, very dull. So, you know, the last 6 games, there've been 2 Zbrojovka victories, 1 Příbram victory, and 3 draws. Each win was by a single goal.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, 1-0. Not even multiple things. I am so unenthusiastic about Příbram because I find them one of the dullest teams in the world, and obviously we have an axe to grind there.
Yeah.
But I am more interested to see what on earth happens on Saturday when we...
Yeah, me too. I'm I, you know, in a kind of sort of morbid fascination way, I'm sort of looking forward to that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's on reasonably late as well. It's on about
6.
Yes, so
6 on a Saturday.
So yeah, we'll go down and see what's up with it.
Yeah,
and then maybe that will depend. You know, that'll probably make a, you know, a big decisive factor in how many games, you know, we do turn up for the rest of the season. But I think that that'll probably do us for today.
Yes, I think it will. Thank you very much, listener, for joining us, for sticking with us. As I said, sorry it took so long for us to get back to you, but, you know, things happen, and things happen apace around here.
If you gave us money on Patreon, maybe I would have bothered to do one faster.
If you'd have set up a Patreon...
Details.
Maybe we could... Etc. and so forth.
By the way...
Yes.
Dave Stevenson still hasn't gotten back to me about that money that he just deposited in
was
my
he not?
Account. So maybe we put that towards, I don't know, hiring an intern to make sure that we do the podcast on time.
How would the intern help?
Ben? I don't know, just remind us. We can do another quiz. We can write more questions about Aston Villa.
Yeah.
More exciting than what's happening at Zbrojovka Brno on the field, at least.
I want to do that. Anyway, thank you very, very much, listener. We will try and keep you updated on all the socials at Zbrojovcast on Facebook and Twitter. And that will be a lot for today.
Bye.
Když bývával jsem školákem, já snil, jak život zázrakem změní se. Až budu chodit do práce, jak žít budu a utrácet peníze. Čekal jsem, jak na trní, kdy se má chvíle naplní a vzhůj. Když jednou takhle v pondělí mi kdo si řekl, že dospělý už prý jsem, já na hák tašku pověsil a do života ze všech sil rozlít se, však stačil jsem jen křídly hnout, jednou, dvakrát se rozlítnout a hned při prvním přistání jsem slil na vlasy havraní. Jak se člověk mýlí v pravé chvíli, zřídka dobí se. Jak se člověk mýlí, kolik síly ztratí v remíze. Co já člověk mílí, nemyslí-li a hned žení se, co já.